Off the Ball, GAA.
There's been an unbelievable buzz. It's actually ridiculous. Like, we're a GAA mad county at the best of times, but now it's through the roof now. It's through the roof.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. You're listening to Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show. Yeah! Hiya, Emma Carroll here from Off the Ball Breakfast. I'm here to bring you a brand new bite-sized chunk of Off the Ball. I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to know from this week's Off the Ball Breakfast, and I'll bring it to you every Friday afternoon. So, let's get into it. The Premier League returned last weekend, and Chelsea seem to be addicted to making transfers, as Jonathan Wilson explained to Jaron Ashling earlier in the week.
They've just thrown money at the situation. Like, if you think about the insane amount of money that they've spent, like 1.3 billion or just over that, like, that doesn't exactly just make things better. You have to, I suppose, think about these signings, bringing all these players in. They have to be happy in what they're doing. There has to be a clear pathway as well. And it seems like it's just a mess.
Yeah, I mean, the only way I think you can understand, or only way you can rationalise this summer's transfers, is that I think they think they're getting a transfer ban. That there's this investigation into alleged historical breaches under Abramovich. I think they're very serious, those breaches, what you hear. And I think Chelsea, the new owners, have basically said, look, this is what we found when we went into the books. And they're cooperating, and they're trying basically to mitigate whatever penalty it is by cooperating as far as possible. So I think, having seen their transfer business this summer, two things are possible. So either A, they're just addicted to making transfers, so they get some kind of endorphin hit every time they sign a player and they can't stop themselves doing it, which is certainly possible. Or B, they've said, right, we think we're going to get a transfer ban of a year or 2 years. Let's buy everybody we could conceivably buy now. And, you know, we'll work out the finances of it later when we can't sign anybody. So there's that underlying things. But yeah, I think the Sterling situation is a great example of why just buying loads of youngish players and hoping that some of them develop and using them just doesn't work, because when you've got a 48-man squad, players are going to be left out, and particularly people like Sterling, who are coming to the latter part of their careers, are thinking, well, if I'm not getting a game, what am I doing here? What's the point? But I mean, that's equally true if you're a young player coming through and you're thinking, I need games to develop. I don't want to be one of these players who joins a big club aged 19 or 20 and nobody sees again until they're 23, 24, farmed out to the Championship or sent off to, I don't know, the Greek League or something. So I think, yeah, there's the financial issues, but there's also the human issues that players want to play and they need to play.
Irish Olympic cyclist Ryan Mullen told us just how dangerous the sport is.
Would you get him into cycling?
Absolutely not. I'd much rather he did something like snooker. Right? Something, just something where he can't be killed by a car or lose skin ever. I just train. We train on open roads, obviously, and you are putting your life in other people's hands. It's still quite scary. Like, it would put, and especially within racing, going through these gaps that don't exist, like inch, millimeters and centimeters away from a barrier or a parked car or whatever, 65, 70 k's an hour. When it's a job well done afterwards, it's like, it's a really like euphoric feeling, because like, we just nearly fucking died, but we know we won. It's mad.
I've had a bad fall myself, and I still enjoy getting up on the bike. Recovering from injuries is part of the job for sports people, but what about when it's a serious illness? Ulster rugby captain Catherine Dane tells us about returning to play following a stroke.
It must have seemed very far away at various stages.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I think I was asked last week, do you know, if somebody told you you'd be running out in Kingspan 18 months from this, what would you say? And I said I would be laughing, because I was in such a dark place. Mine's a really extreme case of a brain hemorrhage, but it happens athletes all the time when they have, you know, big knee injuries or that need reconstruction, those sort of things. Like, you do question your identity, and for so long I've been Catherine Dane, the rugby player, and suddenly when that's inflamed, you think, gosh, well, who am I really? And you're going through that identity battle of, who can I become now that I don't have rugby?
How has your life changed since going through something traumatic like that?
I am definitely more present. I try to be a lot more in the moment. I had my cousin as a mascot there at the weekend. Oscar, he's 8 years old, and little Grace as well. I kind of sat with those emotions a bit more, whereas Catherine Dean of before would have been like, okay, next job mentality, really disciplined. Okay, the next thing, like, I really didn't let emotions or let gratitude come into what I was doing, whereas I have a lot more joy in all the little bits of training and the taste of blood in your throat when you're doing those horrible conditioning sessions. I think, okay, that's amazing that I'm here, and aren't I lucky that I'm able to do it?
There was a little bit of surprise and shock this week when it was announced that Mickey Hart will join the Offaly Footballers. Nigel Dunn told us what the players' reaction was to the news.
We booked you yesterday before the news broke about Mickey Hart, just so that everybody knows this.
Yeah, been a mad few hours since the appointment of Mickey. There's been an unbelievable buzz. It's actually ridiculous. Like, we're a GAA mad county at the best of times, but now it's through the roof now. It's through the roof. Both from the blue for everyone, but a welcome both from the blue, I'll put it that way.
And so, total both from the blue, how do you guys actually find out? Someone puts in the WhatsApp group here, you're not going to believe this, or you see the announcement on Twitter, what happens?
I was part of the leadership group that was voted off me that. We were told to go on a meeting at 5:15 or whatever time it was, that there was an urgent update coming in the next few minutes. So before you knew, Jar, I knew about 10 minutes.
Okay, right.
What it's going to do, and what we badly need probably as a footballing county, it's going to light a fire under everyone straight away. Like, Mickey is a Hall of Famer. Like, it's you can't get a bigger name in GAA, really. And he's in now. Straight away, you're going to have 100% buy-in off every player in the county. Everyone's going to be dying to be in there to just nearly be around greatness as such. So, like, without him doing anything and just being appointed, I think it's going to add a lot to the Offaly senior footballers next year.
Not long to go before Ireland take on England, and Vinnie Pert was in studio, and he was explaining exactly what Irish manager, I'm just going to call him Hamer, needs to do to set out his stall when the English do come to town.
Look, he's saying all the right things. Ultimately, the results will dictate that. So a positive result against England, and I mean positive in terms of that could be a defeat, but playing really, really well, will build into the next game. I don't think it's a real group of death, England aside. I think both Greece and Finland we can get results of. And I think ultimately the one thing that about Stephen Kenny's campaign that he never got that first result early. There was obviously COVID, whatever, but he never got up and running. I think Finland and Greece are both winnable games. We just don't know. It's too early. He's saying all the right things. I think world football has changed, even since when Iceland went to the Euros and he was involved with that. Where me and Keith might slightly differ is, I think Ireland have to find a hybrid model of playing. I don't think you can be just, and I'm not suggesting you're saying go back to Jack Charlton's days. I don't think you can be what we were back in the day of being sort of long ball, putting people under pressure. I don't think the game has changed. Like, you've got to keep the ball. Players are doing that at the club level all the way down into the Championship. League One, League Two clubs are now passing a lot more than they ever did. But there's a hybrid model. I think we went from all the way over here under O'Neill, that sort of regime, to Stephen went just too far to here. And I think there's a hybrid model where you can pass forward, you can pass into channels, but then there's a time in the game to take the sting out. And I think the way modern players coach now, they'll want to do that and they feel more comfortable.
So that's what you need to know from this week's sport. If you want to get even more knowledge before meeting your mates for the match this weekend, you can listen to the full interviews now on the Off The Ball app by becoming a member at offtheball.com/join. But don't forget, you can catch all of Off The Ball Breakfast for free by tuning in each morning at 7:30 a.m. You can watch on our YouTube channel or listen to us on OTB Sports Radio, which streams live on the Off The Ball app. We'll be back Monday morning at 7:30 with all the reaction from the weekend's Premier League with Keith Tracy. We'll have the performance rankings, and Olympic gold and bronze medalist swimmer Daniel Whiffen will join us on the show. Have a great weekend.